one of the best habits is to, I think I mentioned it a couple times, but being proactive and seeking first to understand. Like, I check myself daily in any meeting I'm at, in any conversation I'm at. If I'm talking more than I'm listening, I'm not doing the right thing. So I constantly check myself on that. And it's something I work closely with the team here. And I've asked them to hold me accountable. I have three amazing accountability partners that hold me accountable to that. Like, they'll give me a thumbs up. Like, okay, you're done. I'm like, stop, Toby. Let's listen.
Welcome, everyone, to the Change Starts Here podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Odom, and I'm excited to welcome our guest today, Toby Pace. Toby Pace is the Senior Director of Extended Learning for San Diego Unified Schools in California, one of the largest school systems in the country, but also one of the largest in California. The unique part of this conversation is so much of my career, I have focused on very specifically and intently on the start of the school day to the end of the school day. Yes, there's a lot of work that goes around it, but I've spent most of my time, energy, effort, and passion around bell to bell, essentially. Where Toby's coming in is she's talking about everything that we can do. Yes, to support bell to bell, but also outside. So after school, before school, this amazing summer learning initiative she started. So if this is something, this is a content that you've never spent a lot of time with or you've spent a lot of time on, it's interesting either way because she's got phenomenal ideas and things she's already tried to implement there in San Diego that I think could be replicated all throughout the country. She is a very easy person to talk to. I actually find her pretty funny. I was teasing her about her gaming headset. You'll see in a minute, but it was just a really fun conversation. And I walked away with a new perspective on how we can do education, not just bell to bell, but how we can maximize our time before school, after school, and during the summer. So I enjoy this conversation. I hope you enjoy as much as I do. Thanks again for listening. All right, Toby, I am excited to talk to you. I know that you made a good joke before we got on the air about your headset. I usually call it a gaming headset, but you gave me the best feedback on what you're actually wearing right now. So you want to tell the audience what's on your head?
Yes, got some Janet Jackson headphones going because, yes, you know, it's my dream. Someday I can be me and Janet. You
know, oh, I love it. There's so many songs going through my head now as you do that. So thank you for making time for us today. We're really excited to talk to you. We feel really honored that, one, you're such a great partner of ours, but two, that you're just sharing your time and your energy and your efforts today. So thank you so much.
I'm excited.
We start every podcast off the same question, which is, who are you and what do you love about what you do?
Well, who I am is a mom first. I love my amazing children. I feel so grateful to have two amazing children, but also in my role, what I love is that I get to work with children district-wide. So I'm currently the Senior Director of Extended Learning Opportunities here in San Diego Unified School District, second largest school district in California. And I take my motherhood, not just to my own two children, but to over the 96,000 students we serve here in San Diego Unified. So I love seeing children, seeing students just come alive and having opportunities to truly find their voice. That is my passion in life, is to unlock the genius in each and every child that I come into contact with.
That's awesome. So is that something that you've had since elementary school, middle school, high school? Was there a key moment in your life that set you down a path to want to be an educator to sitting in front of us today?
You know, I'm one of those always wanted to be a teacher kind of people. Since I was young, I'm the oldest of three kiddos. My dad was a teacher. My mom was in education. And I just knew from a young age that I've always wanted to be a teacher. Didn't say I always wanted to become an administrator. However, the doors opened and I had people see things in me that I didn't even see in myself and just realized this is the path that I wanted to lead. So had a honor of being a principal for over 15 years in various districts here in San Diego and last couple of years here in this role for extended learning.
Yeah. Well, before we dive in, because I do want to hear about what your focus is on extended learning. And I think you might have kind of hinted at this. It's a big question, but I think you can simplify it somewhat. How would you describe your leadership philosophy when you think about education. I think you said it in a couple of different sentences before this, but I want to give you an opportunity to kind of name it before we dive into your work.
My philosophy on education and what I strive every day to bring to my world, my career, is really building relationships and empowering others to find their own voice. I've been a coach by nature. I coached high school basketball many years, and I view my role as a coach to see those on the court or on the field striving and thriving to be their best. So truly unlocking that genius in each and every one of the humans that I come in contact with.
That's awesome. So in your role, and as a focus on extended learning, give us an idea of what are the big buckets that you're focused on with that role? Because I could go a lot of different areas, but I'm curious how you spend your day and how your team spends their day.
Well, in my role as extended learning senior director, it's really to create opportunities for district students outside of the 6 hours and 30 minutes in the instructional day. So really diversifying that and providing opportunities. One of the exciting programs we oversee is our summer programs of Level Up Enrichment. We call it Level Up. It's really an opportunity for students who are homeless, foster youth, low socioeconomic, to have opportunities such as going to the San Diego Zoo for the first time, learning how to swim, learning soccer. So that's one of the components. I also get to facilitate middle school sports for our district. So really all of our middle schools now, through extended learning, we offer middle school sports, three seasons of sports, to really prepare kiddos in middle school before they get off to high school. And one of the biggest buckets that I really work on is that summer learning. We have a grade level called UTK, the grade level before kindergarten, all the way through graduating seniors. We provide 9 weeks during the summer for them to thrive and try on new things. We create leadership opportunities for them, internships. We work with students all across the district to actually go into high school students going into elementary, where they can coach and mentor young students in our district, actually providing first-time jobs for many of our students district-wide.
Wow. I was talking to a mutual friend of ours about your work there, and they said, you know, when you had, I think the idea for this particular process or program for you guys, I think there's about 30 students. And I think, is it true you're impacting more than like 300 or so students a summer right now, or maybe
yes,
more?
Yes, we started the specific program that we're leading with the partnership with Franklin Covey. It's called our Teach Lead Leadership Institute. And summer 2023, we started with about 59 students, and we're at about 285 students this summer, almost 300. And it's just been a game changer, literally providing, first of all, just a job opportunity. We, you know, for our high school students ages 16 and up, it's their first time job, but it's so much more than just working at a convenience store. They're actually getting an opportunity to learn leadership, learn about themselves. They go through the Leadership Institute. We do week-long learning about leading themselves. And then the goal by the end of that week is that they lead others.
So these are high school students, right, that apply or get tapped or something, right, to say like, you're a great fit for this. They sign up, get paid to learn these type of leadership skills, and then get paid to teach it throughout the summer? Or is it a different set of kids teaching each week?
Yeah, so our summer programs for elementary, it's a 5-week program where they get to go and learn some literacy skills, some math skills. What these high school students do is before our elementary students start, they go through that leadership week and learn about the curriculum. And then they teach 5 weeks in a row. The high school students go into the elementary classrooms and they teach for 5 weeks. So it is the same group of students. They build relationships. Many of these high school interns, we call them, have the opportunity to actually see themselves as a future teacher. So our hope is that we're really building that educator pipeline, because we need diverse, excited young people to get into this amazing field.
So true. So it doesn't sound like it was a little venture. So like when you start out, I'm sure it's a lot of work for 30 kids. Is there any point where you're thinking, man, it's a lot of work, I don't know? And if there was, what kickstarted it to let's double, triple down and get to the 300 kids or so we got today?
Yes, you are right, Dustin. It was a lot of work onboarding this. It really started with an idea of what if we really transitioned. There's a need in our district for future teachers and for paraeducators. And we said, what if we start within. And so we started small. We always started small, but yes, you're right. It took a lot of work. There were barriers to overcome, such as how do we get a student work permit? How do we create a process that's equitable to onboard so we don't just handpick people, but we open it up so that anyone is invited. So there were a lot of barriers, and we just, you know, knocked them down one at a time. I say we intentionally, because it wasn't just me. It was a partnership with our Franklin Covey partner, Lori Brooks. We partnered also with our Office of Graduation, Dr. Roberson, and we partnered with our CCTE department to really come together and ideate about the what if. And we took each of those barriers down one at a time and did a lot of collaboration, a lot of tears along the way saying, ooh, this didn't work. How can we improve it? To, you know, evidence by the summer, we're at 300 kids. So it's exciting.
That's awesome. Was there ever any pushback on, you know, I don't know, I'm making assumptions here, so I apologize if they're way off base. But my background was mostly in high free reduced lunch districts, where it was about 100% free reduced lunch. And so I'm thinking about my students. So if I apologize, that bias comes through in this question. But when I think about, you know, summer interventions of any point, you know, so much of the time we're doing it because we have a massive achievement gap that exists within our district and our schools. And there are a number of folks that believe it, anything outside of classical focus of teaching and learning, reading and math is a waste of time. I'm curious, one, did you get any of that pushback? I'm not trying to name names, but two, how are you able to help people get over that when they're saying, you know, I don't know if we should spend our time, energy, effort on that. It's got to be in math and science or math and English. I mean, in this case.
So no, I didn't get pushback specifically on that because we approached it from multidimensional a process. We do still provide credit recovery for our students that, you know, have D's and F's. We didn't exclude anyone. I'm super grateful working in San Diego Unified because our leadership team does believe strongly in the whole child. And we value the fact that, you know, we don't want to do things the traditional way and put kids in rows and desks and just teach at them. We believe in the hands-on learning experience. And so I really did have the backing of our school board, of our district leadership to say, go for it, Toby. It really actually was a partnership with one of our school board members when this started. We actually started it with Sabrina Bazzo, who is our board member up in Mira Mesa. And we piloted this. That was the summer 2023, was the idea of how can we get our high school students during the summer? They're not required to go anywhere. And it really was, how can we open these doors? How can we use grant funding to think outside the box? So yes, there were barriers, but it was never a barrier of a mindset. It truly was the what if, and working with the idea of promoting agency for high school students and partnered with that. So excited.
That's exciting. So do you think it'll continue to grow at the rate you're growing at now?
100%. 100%. We just had our reflective summit last week here in downtown San Diego. We have a big park. It's called Balboa Park. And we partnered with our city, and they actually provided a huge venue for all of these 300 students to come in and share their celebration. And one of the feedbacks, I always believe firmly in, like, what went well, you know, the plus deltas, what went well and where can we grow? We asked those students, what did you love about this summer and how can we improve this? And their area of growth was, you know, I'm graduating, Miss Pace. Can I come back next year and be a mentor? And I'm like, brilliant. Yes, and let's do it. So definitely, Dustin, our goal is to continue to expand this and to meet the needs of our students. And you know, we actually surveyed these students and I said, if you didn't have this internship, this leadership institute, what would you have been doing? And about 30% of them said, playing video games on my couch, different things. So it was exciting to say, you know, that gratitude of this has really gotten them off the couch or off the video cameras or off of the gaming. Not that that's bad all the time, but in, you know, pieces of that, but it really had them out there giving back. So we're excited.
That's great. So before I move into kind of more personal leadership type questions, I'd like to finish just put a bow on your role. So you talk about extended learning. So it's anytime they're not in the normal day. Are there other components in terms of
how you look at after school care or before school care that you think is really critical to helping those 6.5 hours be maximized in your schools?
Definitely. We also run a program district-wide called Primetime, which is our before and after school care at 144 of our elementary and middle school sites. And we don't even like to say childcare. It's not just childcare. We're not babysitting. We really are viewing it as an opportunity to provide academic enrichment by building relationships with students, because these kids that need 9 hours a day for working parents in our community, we don't want it to be you just check in, you sit there, you get some tutoring, and you're done. It's really about opening doors for them. So we also do that during the entire school year at those 144 sites. So we're excited about that as well.
So what's your encouragement to districts that may not currently invest enough time or resources into extended learning? And that's, again, before school, after school, or the summer. Why should they rethink their time and resources to double down or triple down in your case, or, you know, 10x in your case, on the impact or the work that you're doing?
My advice to all my colleagues, you know, nationwide, is the importance of that 9 hour day for our students and making it meaningful. Because the reality, and I know as a former principal for over 15 years, a lot of our leaders only focus in on the hours that they're in their actual classrooms. But the reality is there are grant funds out there nationally, statewide, that we can pour into students to create an engaging experience and think outside the box. And that's really what we're trying to do here in San Diego Unified, is opening up doors and providing opportunities for students that they would never have. So the importance of both, not saying that literacy, math, all of that isn't hugely important, STEAM and academics. It's yes and. What else can we do beyond that bell to bell that we can provide opportunities to open up doors for students throughout your district?
That's great. I'm noticing a theme, or at least a trend, in your answers and how you're speaking, in the sense that you don't sit around and let a lot of barriers get in your way. If you have a vision or your team has a vision, does that sound accurate?
100%.
So I'm curious, because like that is like, there's no missing that in how you speak, which I really appreciate and love. What have been some of the biggest challenges? And you're not on the couch, you don't have to go too deep, you don't want to, but what have been some of the biggest professional challenges you faced, and how were you able to overcome them? Because so much of this work that we talk about is the work of a leader can be lonely and really tough. And so it's really good to know people have been, you know, knocked down before and they can get back up.
100%. One of the barriers that I've fought and kind of continue, I think, is mindsets. The mindsets of, oh, why do we do this? We've always done it this way. You don't need to do this. And that is a challenge. It's people who know me like to say, I bring a little energy to things. And I also intentionally believe strongly in listening twice as much as I speak. You know, one of those wonderful habits we learn, seek first to understand, because I think sometimes what I've had to do is listen and, okay, you've done it this way for 20 years. Let's learn about that. Okay. What if, what can we shift? What can we expand? How can we grow? But that takes time. And so it takes time. To me, one of my core values is building those relationships with partners, with district employees, with community partners that have done it this way the whole time. But it really does take patience and time to sit down, have those conversations and say, okay, that's great that you've always done it this way. Let's continue to build on that. So it's really shifting that mindset to saying, hey, I'm not saying you must do this. I'm not a top-down kind of person. It's let me sit side by side with you. Let's ideate about, go back to your core value. Why did you get into this field? What do you believe for all students? So definitely, I think the biggest barrier that I've faced in my career is that mindset. And it excites me. I know I use the word excited a lot, but it truly is my passion to see that, you know, idea of going back to your core values and how you can shift the narrative when you focus in on the ultimate goal is empowering students.
Yeah, working on mindsets. And one of the mindsets that I see often, this can be even from the highest performing teachers, is a lack of desire or feeling that you can take risk and innovate. And so whether it was you as a school leader or you in your role now, what are some ways you've been able to build in the ability for your teachers or leaders around you to innovate and risk take? Because again, you just built a program that didn't exist before and now it's growing. And so it took a lot of risk to go from nothing to something. And so how have you kind of built that in the people around you or at the schools that you've served in before?
Fear is real. There is a lot of fear, you know, that's the reality. And as educators and as a lifelong educator, I've faced that. I've faced that fear of taking a risk. It really, really starts with creating, shifting a culture to celebrate the struggle and say, you know what, fail forward and modeling it. I will be the first person to say, you know, I'm far from perfect. I have made many mistakes, but also creating a culture of embracing that because, oh, if Toby, this person who's done many things in her life is fail forward many times, you rise up through that. So embracing that fear and saying, and being transparent that I don't have, and also knowing I don't have all the answers. I believe in the collective. I believe in that collaboration. So overcoming those mindsets and personally in my own leadership, I've really tried to model that I am not perfect and I can't do this alone. So empowering others to say, hey, what is your idea? Okay, let's build on that. Let's take that and run with it. And creating space. Sometimes it's, I've you know, worked with many leaders in my life and in my career, but those that have opened up a space and said, Toby, why don't you try this? Or I see something in you. It's like, oh, you see something in me, like someone believing in me to move something out of my traditional. Like I said in the beginning, I never thought I wanted to be anything other than a teacher, which I still think I'm a teacher. I view myself as a teacher because I am that lifelong learner and I'm still trying to teach, but also learn myself. So really opening up that.
To that point, I mean, I remember I use this example quite a bit. My wife's best friend, I remember when I was overseeing, you know, 25 turnaround schools, and I went to my wife's best friend saying, I will hire you now as a principal. And in her head, she's like, I'm not anywhere close to ready. I've only been in education for 5 years. And I'm telling her, I have seen the principals we have. I know your skill set. I know how you love, serve people. You're ready. And I couldn't convince her of it. And so I'm curious from your, and I know why I've unpacked it a lot with her over the years, but I'm curious for you, what advice do you have for educators who have people in their lives saying, I think you could be an administrator. I think you could go to the district office. I think you could do this. And in their head, their self-talk is, no way. Are you crazy? I'm not ready. I don't have these skill sets. How do you help them through that so they can embrace those opportunities that are probably out there for them?
Dustin, I was that person saying, no way. I couldn't. I was exactly that person. And I've seen people who've done it and seen things in me. It's that encouragement. It's, hey, believing in others and really sitting down and building those relationships of trust, because again, it came back to a fear. I'm not ready. I love my second grade class. It's wonderful. And I didn't see myself as that. So strategies that I've had used with me, as well as I continue to use with others, is really believing in the potential. And if when you see something, say something. And we say that intentionally because you see these leadership qualities, like you said, with your wife's friend. I see this leadership. I see this passion for loving kids. Those are things you can't teach. You can get your degrees. You can get your master's. You can get your doctorate, which are all valuable, amazing things. But you can't teach that core value of love and passion for empowering others. So I really encourage people to use their voice and see something, say something, encourage others around you to really take the risk. And then not just leave them like, go take the risk, sit with them, spend time. I remember one of my mentors took me to coffee once a month. Okay, Toby, I know you said you weren't ready, but let's talk about that more. And building those relationships that are sustained. And you know, this woman is someone I still call to this day. Hey, what do you think I should do about this? And building those relationships that sustain and last.
That's awesome. Well, before we get into our rapid fire questions, I want to ask you, you hinted early on about student feedback and student-centered thoughts on how you build your programs out. You know, whether it's been you as a principal or you in the district, how have you or your team or your district utilize student voices to make better decisions on your short-term and long-term plans? Do you have it systematized? How important that is in your school's plans as well as your district's plans? And what could you do even better, or what could you encourage others to do that could allow them to be more student-centered?
Definitely. I feel, again, grateful for being in this district. One of the things that we've done, being such a large district, we actually have learning communities that are called areas. And we do what we call monthly listening sessions, where we invite students to, now they're the ones leading those, but we listen and spend, you know, seek first to understand what's working, where can we grow? And we've really modeled that as a district, district-wide, and creating cadence to always be open to feedback. Feedback is what guides us, especially post-COVID, because our kids today are different than they were prior to 2020. And what we want to do is be responsive to the needs and the wants and the voice of each and every one of them. So we do that through listening sessions once a month. We do it through surveys. We do it through open Zoom calls, office hours. We do it with our parents. We do it with our staff. We do it with our students. And it's really a cadence of that that we've created district-wide that will inform us as we go forward. And on our district website, we have something called Vision 2030. And that has been created based on these feedback sessions from all of our valued community partners, because we believe in that, the collective, that we can move forward together.
Yeah, I feel like everything, you know, I've got a number of friends that have either worked with you guys as coaches, or, you know, like in Lori's case or Kyle Ellison's case, like I've been around you all. And I continue to hear how student-centered you all are trying to be in everything you do. So I want to, one, applaud you, but two, I know, you know, while that intent is there for sure, it's hard to do in such a large district with so many employees and so many students. And so I just encourage you guys to continue to fight and make sure you get better at that every year.
Yes, definitely.
So before we close out, we've got rapid fire, and then I'm going to give you one last little question to send you on your way. So we talked about earlier, our rapid fire questions are always the same.
Okay.
What's a habit or discipline that you utilize on a daily basis or even a weekly basis that helps you be the best version of yourself?
One of the best habits is to, I think I mentioned it a couple times, but being proactive and seeking first to understand. Like, I check myself daily in any meeting I'm at, in any conversation I'm at. If I'm talking more than I'm listening, I'm not doing the right thing. So I constantly check myself on that. And it's something I work closely with the team here, and I've asked them to hold me accountable. So I have three amazing accountability partners that hold me accountable to that. Like, they'll give me a thumbs up, like, okay, you're done. I'm like, stop, Toby. Let's listen.
Sometimes that's a problem. Like, it's like when you're, I warn people who start leader me processes, and their teachers have their own personal goals and they share them with their students. Mm-hmm. They're wonderful accountability, but the problem is they are also wonderful accountability. And let's say I've seen, like,
exactly.
You say you want to give up Diet Coke and you slip up one day, every kid will let you know that forever. Oh, yes. And so it's tough to have those accountability partners.
Truth. I love it.
Yeah. All right. What's a book, or you can cheat as other people have, or what are books that have impacted you either recently or over your career that you always recommend others check out?
I have a few. Currently reading and doing a book study on Trust and Inspire. Loving that, because it's truly aligned to my core values. Just, it's empowering. And I have a couple new employees on my team, so bringing it in as a book study, I always love that strategy, because then we're co-learning together and we're able to talk through it. That's one. I would say that one right now.
Wow. That's a shameless plug, but we'll take it. That's one of my favorites right now. So I appreciate it. All right. Baseball is a big deal in our world here in St. Louis. So I'm curious, what is your walk-up song if you have to go on stage or get up to bat today?
Oh my goodness. I don't know. I'm trying to think of one, because I literally, there's so many, but I guess I'd go with some GNR, some Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle, baby.
Ooh.
It's a good build, you know? You come in.
That's great.
Swing.
That is great. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah,
that is,
I love cool. Welcome to the Jungle.
I love it. That is great. I'm about to introduce my kids to that tonight.
All right.
Leadership advice. You're someone who is around really thoughtful people, really thoughtful leaders, and in your case, even thoughtful students. I'm curious the best piece of advice you've gotten recently, or the most impactful piece of leadership advice you've gotten recently that you just have on the top of your mind that you'd love to share with others.
To be is greater than or equal than to do. Don't get caught up in the doing. The to-do lists, we all do it as administrators. We try and create different to-do lists. But if you are not present, if you are not your best self and in the moment, then all the to-dos that you want to do don't matter. Because people, what is it? Maya Angelou, one of my favorite quotes, people will forget what you taught them. They'll forget all these things, but they will never forget the way you made them feel. And if you aren't present in that moment, and if you aren't connecting, then your to-do list doesn't really matter.
I love it. My team a few years ago gave me a present with that quote on it
as a
reminder of, because like you said, I think that's something that my wife, who's the chief of staff of her district, you know, is doing things a lot. And so that's a conversation we always have is, how do you make sure you're present and being in the moment while trying to accomplish those things? Because you can miss so much by not being present. That's great. So I said I was only have one question, but I actually have two now.
Okay.
It's your fault, by the way. You'll see. So you said your favorite book right now is Trust and Inspire. What role does trust play in leadership and execution of your priorities?
Trust is everything. If you don't have that basic fundamental, no one will take risks. You have to be able to sit side by side and know that you got me or I got you. So building that, again, it takes time. You can't just come and say, just trust me. I have a great idea. Let's go. You know, it's those that show the way and go the way. We have to build that trust because you can't get anywhere. So with that trust, it takes time. And it is, to me, one of the biggest priorities in building or sustaining any type of change towards the ultimate vision of whatever you're setting off to do. So for us in ELO, it's to create inclusive spaces before and after school and throughout the summer for all kids. But we can't do that without trust. It is the foundation that we build on.
That's awesome. All right. My last question is really just a self-promotion for you guys. What is unique, and why should people, you know, right now, so many people or so many districts are looking to hire new teachers, or they want more students to move in there. Why should a teacher or a student, a family, choose your district? What's unique, and why do we need to come your way?
Come on over to San Diego Unified. One of the biggest things that we believe, our core values, are the students are at the center. We have a very unique organizational chart. If you look at our website, it is actually a circle, and it's the concentric circle model. It's not a top-down district. It is truly based on students at the core and the center of everything we do, meaning our board is aligned, our superintendent's aligned, our chief of staff. We are all focused in on that core value of empowering student voice at the center of everything we do. So if you're interested, come on down. We would love to have you here in San Diego Unified.
I love it. All right. Well, Toby, AKA Janet Jackson for today. Thank you for making time. Thank you for having my run playlist later today be all Janet Jackson, reminding me of my childhood. This has been an awesome conversation. And honestly, I mean, I know I'm making a lot of jokes right now, but thank you for the commitment you have. Again, I know that it's awesome that I get to talk to you a couple of years later after you've had all the success of building such an awesome initiative up to 300 plus kids and going even further. But like I said, it's not lost to me for a second. It shouldn't be lost to anybody. The hard work of building the right coalitions, finding the funding, designing the right solutions, getting the students excited, getting them set up. Like, it's just like every one of those is wrapped in hours and hours and hours of blood, sweat, and tears. And so I just thank you and applaud you for that work. And I wish you nothing but the best. And I really thank you for the time today.
Awesome, Dustin. Thank you so much. It's been an honor, and it's so nice to meet you.
Yeah. Talk soon.
Okay.